Dear flashcards, I confess, my emotions have been a mess. Cause you changed everything we ever knew. From witches to poison, and the queen walked too. Whoa, I've been wrong.
I was wrong.
Been out all night.
Way too long.
Getting hogs and Valkyries.
I pushed that button and believe in you again.
Welcome to episode 83 of Pineapples and Thorns. I'm Kat, and today I have Peter with me. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hello, Kat. Great, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. And we're going to jump right into this because we are very privileged today to have the Supercell Community Manager, Fairy, with us. Welcome, Fairy. How are you?
Hi there. Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your weekend to be with us today.
My pleasure. It's always nice to be part of this community-run like podcasts, videos, and everything. So thank you for inviting me.
Awesome.
Excellent.
So we're going to jump right into this. We want to have our listeners a little bit get to know you. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, what brought you to Supercell and Clash of Clans?
All right. So what brought me to Supercell was fate, I'd say. So basically, my last job, I was working in another gaming company, and I was living in Ireland for the past 5 years, and they unfortunately decided to close the Irish office. So. And at the time they announced this, they offered me to move back to Brazil. That's where I'm from. Move back to Brazil to work in the Brazilian office. But I didn't want to go back to Brazil. So I said, no, thank you. I'm just going to part ways and I'll look for something on my own. And at the same time, very much in the same month they announced that, a recruiter from Supercell reached out to me. And they say, hey, I was looking at your profile. It looks pretty interesting. I want to chat. And I'm like, sure. And one thing led to another. And here I am.
Awesome.
That is fate. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I told you.
What's been the best thing about the move to Finland and the worst?
Okay, the worst one is easy. The weather, the darkness, the cold. That's definitely the worst part. But the good, I think that there are several good things about moving to Finland. I think that I really like how everything works here. Public transportation, the healthcare, like all things are like government related. They need to get documents, whatever it is. And also, I think that people are super friendly. And I like to keep to myself. I don't like people approaching me, like strange people on the street, things like that, or whatever, getting too close. And they're very respectful of your personal space, something that I also really appreciate. So I think those are the best things about moving here.
Yeah, it sounds almost like Canada.
And I lived in Canada actually for a year. So
did you really?
Yes, in Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite as dark here, but
okay, yeah,
we do get the cold.
True.
And you had the opportunity to work with Darien a little bit before he moved on. How do you feel about being the main community manager for Clash of Clans now that he's moved on?
It's a lot of pressure, not gonna lie, for several reasons. Taking over after Darien, who is amazing, is super hard. Someone who's been in the community for a long time, so everyone recognizes him, loves him. He's amazing. And there's also the other side of the coin that's like Clash of Clans is a game that's been around for so long, has an established community and everything. So it's really hard to step in something like that and say, hey, yeah, I'm the new guy. So it's very scary at the same time, and there's a lot of pressure. But I also love that. I love like changes. I love like doing new things. So to me, at the same time, it's also scary, but also pretty exciting. So it is a struggle. Not going to lie, it is a struggle. A lot of pros and cons. But overall, I would say that I think I'm doing well. But the future will tell. Yeah.
For sure. So do you have a favorite memory of working with Darien? I know you guys had a lot of fun with some of the videos that you put out.
Yes. I mean, yeah, the videos were super fun. But I think favorite memory I have of him was something that he did that was super cool. I think that when I started, he ran this unofficial, let's say, therapy sessions. He was just like, hey, Fairy, let's just like go upstairs, let's sit down for an hour, just like chat about life, things, challenges, whatever it is. It was just like a super cool thing that he just wanted to do because he knows how hard it can be to like be in a game like Clash or starting a job and everything like that, moving to a new country. So it was something really nice that he did. He would take this time to do this, just to chat, just to see how I'm doing, to see what he can do to help. And those are moments I really cherish, because we got to chat about a lot of things, about life, about his experience, about my experience. So that's something that I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, some of the challenges that you're facing as a community manager. Is there a really fun part of your job and the least fun?
Yes. Okay. So most fun part, I'll say, is being able to create content and think about like great things that you can do for the community and for the game. Think of ways how we can like bring new things, exciting things, like change things how they were done before in the past. Maybe they can be, maybe things can be done in a different way that it's like better. I think the most fun part is like being able to do those things, try new things, and just like being like with a game again as big as Clash. It's a privilege, because you know we have like huge communities, a lot of players, like players that have been playing the game for so long, and I think it's a privilege to be able to do that and work with these players, because I'm talking with content creators all the time as well. Pro players, like people that work for Supercell, for Clash clients for a long time, and I think the most fun part is being able to do that and work with those people. And the least fun part, I'll say, is juggling everything you have to do. Because sometimes it can be a lot. Mm-hmm. And especially since Darian left, I was left by myself. So it's really, really hard and challenging to juggle everything, because there's so much happening with the game. There's so much we have planned. There's so much you need to think about. The content you're producing, the plans we have for the future, the videos we have to do, to record, to write the scripts, and everything else, everything we do with the content creators as well. So there's so much happening that it's sometimes quite hard to juggle everything. But that's something that's it will get better as soon as I have another partner, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm sure our listeners would like to know, and I think you've mentioned it on other podcasts before, is that you do play an account in Clash of Clans. Mm-hmm. What town hall level are you currently?
I'm currently 12. So, and I know that's one of the town halls that a lot of people struggle to get out of. It takes a while. So I'm thinking that boat. I'm in the same boat. So I'm town hall 12. But I start playing, and I'm super honest about this. I always share that. I started playing last year. So I'm fairly new to Clash of Clans. Not like I've been playing the game for 3, 4, 5 years. So I'm doing my best to always be like caught up to everything. I'm always reading, watching videos and everything. But yeah, still Town Hall 12, but doing my best.
Do you have a favorite attack comp that you use in war or farming?
I navigate between Queen Charge and, I'm sorry, but using E-Dragons. I do that a lot. And I know I make jokes on social media and all that about using E-Drags, but come on, it's fun. It's kind of like a lot of times it's a no-brainer, so sometimes you're more feeling more tired or whatever it is. And I think it's super chill to use E-Drags, and that's why I like it as well. I like having that option. So those two are the one, but I'm also looking into like new strategies moving forward, because I like to, just change things up a little bit.
Yeah, it is good to try different things and find out what they can do. People always make fun of E-Drags, but I have seen some really nice attacks with them, and there are some people that are really, really good using them.
Exactly. Like, I know like where people say it requires no skill, but it does require skill. Like, you can always master something, so you can always make it better and everything. So I do think that using E-Drags is not, like, it's no joke. I think it's just a strategy, and you can make it like even better.
Definitely. What about Clan Capital? Do you have a particular strategy you use there?
For Clan Capital, no. I just do whatever I feel like, pretty much. But my clan is like, weekends, my clan is, so could you try to do this? But they try to like give some tips sometimes, because I'm still in the process of like learning everything. And I was focusing a lot on the home village, and even build their base. I like build their base a lot, to be honest. But for Clan Capital, like, again, it depends a lot. So sometimes I go for my like P.E.K.K.A.s or my Flying Fortress and Rocket Loons, things like that. So it depends how I feel like I'm feeling that day, let's say.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's so many different things. I know a lot of people really love the super miners still.
Oh, yeah.
But some of those other ones are a lot of fun just to use and play around with. Sometimes like the Mountain Golem, I love that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially now that there's that haste skill that you can use to make them move a little faster.
Just a little bit faster, yeah. Sometimes just like, please move faster, so slow. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and come back and you'll still be walking across the base.
Exactly.
So do you have any hobbies outside of Clash?
Yes, I like playing games overall. I like play a lot of different stuff, console or PC and everything besides mobile. I love watching anime and TV shows. And also I really like travel and go for walks. So.
Nice. Yeah. Finland's really a beautiful country. So.
Yeah, exactly. And the weather's finally getting better. So yay.
It's what, fifth spring I heard?
Exactly, yeah. And it seems like the second winter is coming, so yeah, nice.
All right, let's dive into some Clash stuff, Peter.
Well, I'm going to be the bad guy, Fairy. I got to ask some hard questions. Yes.
All right, bring it on. I'm ready.
The gold pass. You know, each month, a lot of us in Red Thorn buy a gold pass, mostly for donations because we're a pretty active clan. But one of the things that a lot of people lament about is we get hero books and we get other bonus items, and we have to trade those in for gems. Do you think there could be ever a possibility of allowing us to stack those up? Because, you know, with an update coming, it would be nice to have a little bit extra in the bank, even though we've been a gold pass holder for a while.
That's a good question. And this is a topic that was raised before internally, because, again, it's not new, right? A lot of players have mentioned this before and asked for this before. And there's all, not only this, but there are all other, like, I won't say minor, but these quality of life improvements would be really good for the game and for the player, like changing these things that are being discussed. But there's nothing on the horizon that I can tell you that is happening or we're gonna make the change. We're still in the phase of like identifying all these, let's say, issues or things we could improve, but nothing yet set in stone or like that we are actually gonna do about them yet. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. We're just looking for some insights. You know, we have an update coming and we got sneak peek one today. It's Saturday. We're recording on Saturday. And, you know, some of the things that Kat and I always look out for, Kat has been a long time leader of Red Thorn. I'm just kind of the new guy on the block, you know, only 3 or 4 years here, I think now. One of the things is in clan chat tagging. Very interesting idea. The ability to turn it off is maybe not so great, but from a leadership point of view, because we're always trying to find better ways to communicate. How did that one come about?
So that's part of the whole clan chat revamp that we rolled out. I think the first changes came last month, if I'm not mistaken. That we had the pin messages, the reactions, the different colors that everyone went crazy for a while with them.
Crazy for a while, yeah.
Exactly. It was quite fun. So this is just part of that the project. So let's make clan chat better. And that's one of the things as well, to be able to tag leaders, co-leaders, or the entire clan. And the reason why you gave the option to turn it off, because right now, every member can tag the whole clan, right? So we didn't want, like, for some reason, if someone was spammy or whatever happened, that players wouldn't be able to, like, okay, I don't want to see this anymore. So there's the option to turn it off if you don't want to receive the notification. But again, we were always getting some feedback around this. Because I was reading that some players are not very happy about like giving every member the option to the option to be able to tag everyone in the clan. There should be limited, maybe just leaders and co-leaders and everything. So we're definitely going to listen to all the feedback, see how it goes, and then make changes if necessary.
Fair enough.
We're excited for the changes. You know, anything that can help us out is new and exciting. And we know that you have to try it before it's perfect. So we're been patient. Exactly. We played for a long time. We know it can be better.
Absolutely, yes.
One of the new things for Town Hall 16 is a second siege machine in the clan castle. So we know we're going to get a clan castle upgrade, a little bit more hit points, and the storage pack. Why did you do that? I mean, we're only going to be able to use one. We know this because two would be overpowered. What was the reasoning behind allowing us to have two?
To be fair, this is a question that would be better answered by someone, you know, one of our game designers. I'm not fully sure on the exact reason why, but it's the kind of thing that I can definitely come back to you and say, hey, So this is why the whole reasoning behind it. I can go to the game designer and ask, because right now I honestly can't tell you what's the exact reason behind it, like the reasoning why we went for two.
I think personally it's because of someone like Itsu, who often has one of each kind built and a different one in his clan castle, and he will use them off the cuff one at a time, depending on what he wants to do at the time. I think it's great for maybe the pros. I'm not sure how much us Joes will get to use it, but we can also get two of the same kind. So that's, you know, a bonus. So you don't necessarily have to run out each time and always be looking for that max one. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
We saw some changes to clan perks, which we're very excited about. And now we can go from donating only 9 balloons to donating 50 archers. What a great change.
The dream.
The dream, exactly. How did you decide on that one? Just feedback?
Feedback, yes. And it's been long overdue, to be honest. So it was about time. And we've been getting this feedback for a while, actually. Like, why have you not increased the number of donations? And so it's like, yeah, it's about time we do this. So there's only benefits we see in that case. So it was like a no-brainer. It took a while, but yeah, thank God it's here. You can finally get your 50 archers. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We have a couple of guys that request, you know, Ice Golem, and Phil. And, you know, it's you're having to recruit many, many people to fill those 30 archers for that clan castle. Yeah.
I can't wait to see the... the 50 archer requests coming now.
I'm changing mine tomorrow, Kat.
Oh my gosh.
They're coming.
No, we think it's a great deal. You know, it's been a thing. Lots of guys want 10 hogs and, you know, you can fill 9 and you go, well, you'll have to use your raid medals. So off you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's also one of the reasons, yes.
There's also some changes coming to Clan Capital. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about those.
Those I'll have to wait a little bit, so you're all gonna be hearing about very soon. But since we were following this next sneak peeks and plan and everything, but stay tuned because the creators and ourselves are going to be sharing more about that very, 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 very soon.
Excellent.
You've also done some changes to Clan Wars, and in particular the number of participants. You've reintroduced 35 participants and 45 participants. And I'm going to speak for Kat. No, I'm going to let Kat say it herself. Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I can't tell you how many times we'd have to sit 3 or 4 people or, you know, to try to get up to 40, we'd have to recruit some people.
Yes.
There seems to be a lot more participation right now because ore is so valuable.
Yes. And there was also like... It's a combination of a lot of things. And we also announced today that ore is going to be applied to the star bonus multipliers.
Very excited for that one.
We know that it is an issue. Like, the main issue was the amount of equipment you have right now in the game and the amount of ores you have. They don't match. You're always going to be like way behind if you're trying to get like all your common equipments and your epic equipments and everything. So that's why we have to, again, the issue is that when the equipments were rolled out, there was already like a backlog of equipment in there.
Yeah.
It was like, well, hey, there's just one and let's take things low. So the main issue is that we just, we didn't anticipate this whole issue very well. So that's why now we're making these changes. And again, thanks to all the feedback, I really appreciate all the players that were like saying, sharing feedback about this and everything. I know they're being very vocal about it, rightfully, because it was a struggle. It is still a struggle. Hopefully, all these changes will alleviate that and make it easier, especially with the event now that there's going on. There's a lot of auras for everyone to claim with the event. The event. So we hope that all these changes, plus raid medals, plus star bonus and everything, all that's going to help everyone like be up to speed to all the equipments. And then we release something new, it'll be much easier to like collect enough wars to upgrade and everything. You know, you won't feel like you're too far behind. You might be a little bit behind, which is fine, but too far behind is not good. So that's what we're trying to fix now with all these changes.
And they're still so new to all of us. You know, I think many of us had indecision on which to upgrade. And so we put 3 or 4 levels on the vamp stash and then switch out to something else, and then 3 or 4 levels on the frozen arrow and then switch to something else. And so we almost felt like we were missing out because we didn't know what we were missing. And so it'll take time. I think it will come to a balance. We like you're giving us more ore, so yeah.
Yeah, that's why also we didn't release hero equipment this season, because we want to give players time to get all these ores, upgrade, and then later, okay, here's another hero equipment. Then go back to the grind of hero equipment. But for now, yes. I think it's good for everyone to just, let's just catch up. Yeah.
Yes. And we recognize it's content creation, right? Your creators want new stuff because it gives them new stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah,
Root exactly. Riders, again, is boring for them. Mm-hmm. While it's reliable for us, we understand they need new and the new shiny toys to play with. So we still we appreciate you letting us catch back up. We also see that there's a nerf coming to the haste file. I assume that's just because there was a huge take rate on that equipment.
Yes.
Everyone wanted it. Everyone was using it.
Yeah. And again, there was a lot of feedback around this as well. So these are the changes that we're making to try to help with that that feedback and all the data we are seeing. So, but again, all these changes, and it, again, talking also about Root Rider, we know that this is an issue to some and a blessing to others.
Yes.
And it is a struggle when you have a competitive scene in the game and let's say a non-competitive one. So you're trying to make the game fair for both of them, which a lot of times is not possible or it's super hard. So that's why we're now in the process of like understanding, okay, what can we do to please both groups? And that's a challenge because again, this nerf buff game is not enough for this.
Yeah.
We need something else. And we mentioned this before. There are things that are being talked about. It, especially like I think one of the we brought up before. We talked about this was the pro mode. It's one of the options. Again, nothing is ready or nothing for us to show or anything like that yet, because we need to find something that's long term, and that's why we're taking our time. Because if you're going to do something, you're going to make sure that it works and it's long term, a fix that works for the long term. Otherwise, it's going to cause more frustration. We have to go back.
Yes.
And everything. So that's why we're doing that. But again, it is something we're looking at quite intensively. So hopefully we'll be able to share more about this in the near future, because we recognize that this is an issue. No regrets per se, but an issue of the balancing between the two groups.
Of course. Yeah, that's excellent insight. And we appreciate that. We know some guys that are really into the pro scene. We have mm-hmm. a team right now in the CFF, Team Quasar, and they're in the world qualifiers and doing well. And so, you know, they see the differences when the yeah. good players get a hold of this stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. And I fully understand. Yes.
So we saw sneak peek one today, some quality of life stuff. We assume sneak peek number two is going to be some defenses. Can you give us any insights, little hints?
I say one of the hints I can give, stay tuned at 3 p.m. tomorrow. That's one of the hints I can give you. And the other hint I can give you is that for the next sneak peek, it will be related to buildings and defenses and things like that. So
fantastic.
That's the next sneak peek. So yeah,
fair enough.
But we're gonna share tomorrow, and again, content creators are also gonna be creating content around this and everything. But and then not as we're gonna have some extra stuff for when the patch comes out, but we'll reveal all that on the day.
Fine. Okay, so let's jump ahead a little bit past the sneak peeks. Mm-hmm. Town Hall 17. Oof. You guys have kind of upped the ante, right? You've said we're going to do these things faster. Are you still on schedule for Town Hall 17 in 12 months after the release of Town Hall 16?
So far, so good. No changes to our plan. And that's one of the perks about increasing the team size, right? That's one of the things we want to achieve, being able to deliver more in a short period of time. So that's one of the things, that's why we changed the frequency, the cadency of the like town hall release, because we have more people in the team, we can do things faster. And the plan again is to keep our 12-month schedule. And so far,
fantastic. So yeah, good.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we touched briefly on the two different sides of the game. There's the casual players on one side and the pro players on the other. And there's been a lot of issues, and they were very vocal on Twitter and in the game and in the various Discord servers. There's this huge divide, it seems, between what the pro players want and what the casual average players want. Mm-hmm. And you guys are stuck in the middle. How do you handle something like that when you have such a wide gap between what the two bases of your game want?
It's not easy, and this is a tiny spoiler, but hopefully next week we're going to be releasing a video where with one of our game designers, we'll be covering a lot of topics, and this is one of them. And I think the best person to talk about this is someone who's actively working on these things, because the game designers are the one who have to crack their heads how to fix an issue. We can imagine the front line being the shield, but they're the ones who have to actually fix the problem. So that's why we have this video with a game designer, so he can talk about what's happening, how we were tackling this and all that. But this is like something that he's going to talk about, but it is a struggle. It's not easy at all. And it is one of their challenges they have right now. But again, it's something that we have to do. There's no way around it. We know that we can no longer keep this thing where we're trying to balance the game for both of them at the same time by just, again, nerfing or buffing troops, whatever it is. So there has to be something more. And that's what we're going to talk about as well in that video and cover what is that something more. What else can we do? Okay. What is the long-term solution for this problem, which is not going to go away? This competitive scene is always going to be there. Let's say the casual players or the average players are always going to be there. And we need to make sure that's like a good experience for everyone, no matter where you are in the game.
Mm-hmm. Did it take you guys by surprise the strength of the backlash from especially the pro community? They were really, really upset about the whole thing.
Yes, it took us by surprise. Again, it's on our side. We should have anticipated and tried to predict a little bit better how the performance would be. But a lot of, that's the thing. A lot of times in these cases, there's so much you can figure out with tests, internal testing. A lot of it has to happen with entire Terrorblaze base. We need time to gather the data, see how things are going, analyze. That's something else we also will mention in this video, is that it's really hard when you have so many players playing the game, millions of players, and you have to analyze the data, understand how things are happening. We need time to look at those data and we need time to look at feedback. So we need both. We can't just look at one of them and say, okay, it's this. We need to look at both feedback and data. And then with those two, you decide what to do, what's the problem, how to fix it, and all that. And we know that it's taking longer than players would like, and we fully understand, and it's something that's why we're making this a priority right now, so we can try to come up with something as soon as possible and make everyone happy, hopefully, at least for a short period of time. Yeah, because I'm sure in another month or two, there's going to be another problem, but that's fine.
I'm going to deal with that when that happens. Yeah, so one thing I've noticed with the hero equipment, the heroes are incredibly strong right now, and it's really quite amazing how you can change the equipment and it really impacts your attack. You know, some types of equipment are better for a queen charge, for example, and others are better with more spammy attacks. Have you given any thought to reworking how often the equipment comes out? I know we paused on the equipment for this month, but maybe regular equipment coming out during the year and then perhaps once or twice a year, give us a piece of epic equipment and make it something really special. And
This whole thing made us look back at our plans. So we're now looking to make changes to the cadency of release. Again, I don't have anything to tell you hey, it's going to be one next month and one another month. I don't have that to tell you, but I can tell you that we are making changes to our plan based on the feedback and based on everything that's happened, because we don't want to also saturate the game with this hero equipment, because they have to feel like something that, again, it's super cool, that it's going to change your gameplay or going to change your strategy, but it has to be done in a way that it's pleasant for players. So we understand that. And again, we needed some time as well to analyze all the feedback and data around hero equipment, how things were being used or perceived and everything. So at least what I can say is that we are making changes, yes, to the whole schedule, but it is something we're going to be able to say for sure once we have that finalized. And okay, so here's the plan for the release of your equipment. So at least everyone will know what to expect.
Awesome. This month we had a really neat theme for the game. It was the Egypt theme. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite scenery?
A favorite scenery?
Scenery or skin from when for the length of time you've been playing? There's, you know, every month there's a different theme.
Yeah. So I really like. It depends for which hero and everything. But if we're talking about the scenery, I really, really like the space scenery.
Yes.
The release last month. I did because there were some very nice changes and details that were added in that scenery. That was super cool. And it's something that we're exploring more and more to make sceneries look even more appealing and cool. You're going to be looking for these Easter eggs, whatever it is, these details, like the goblin that was like flying off in space and everything, like we did the last one. So like right now we have the Egypt scenery, you have like the portal, right? That we keep seeing just weird characters or creatures, whatever. So we're also making scenarios better. So for me, the space one is pretty cool for the time again, for the ones that I've seen being released so far. It's one that I really enjoy. And for skins, wow. It's really hard, but I really like the Lunar New Year skin for the Archer Queen and the Barbarian King. I love those two. And I love the Egypt one for Grand Warden. I think it's amazing. And for Royal Champion, that's the hard one. I always have a hard time picking a good one, the one I like the most for Royal Champion. Damn. I'll have to get back to you because I'm having a really hard time picking them. My favorite, at least. I don't know which one is my favorite right now.
Can you give us any hints on any upcoming themes? Or is there something that you would like personally to see as a theme that maybe they're not working on yet, but that they might be able to bring in the future?
Maybe it's something that, I mean, for seasons, I think, like for the, maybe it's something that was reasoned before, but I really like anything that's more medieval themed. I love the kind of thing, anything related to that. Anything related to like magical and like fantasy stuff. I'm a sucker for that as well. I love Final Fantasy, things like that. So anything that's more like fantasy universe, things like that, I love it. So those are something that I hope to see.
Is there a possibility that special obstacles, like there was an original dragon statue and the old Christmas trees, we hear sometimes people have accidentally sold their 2012-2013 Christmas trees. Would there ever be an opportunity for people to go back and perhaps purchase those in the Supercell store?
As far as I know, and I'm sorry, no. because they're supposed to be something unique from that period of time for that event or that season. So is the kind of stuff that it's like, if you got it, you got it. If you don't, I'm sorry. So as far as I know, there are no plans to bring those back. I'm sorry.
Can I ask a question about Clan Capital? Super addition to the game. I think it was a very interesting cooperative effort for a clan. But Red Thorn, for one, has been maxed for quite a while. Do you have any plans for new Clan Capital levels? I know the builder, I know Home Village is the focus, but...
At the moment, no. I agree with you. I find this Clan Capital super fun. But one of the things that I think we mentioned last year or in the Q&A that we released this year, making Home Village our focus for the year. And again, the main reason is because we want to make it the best as possible before shifting our focus to something else or trying to like tackle everything at once. And that's not very efficient. So we're going to make sure, okay, so Home Village, which is the core of the game, let's make sure this is like amazing, great. Now we can focus on other things. So it doesn't mean that's like we forgot about it, we're not going to do anything about it, but most of the focus is going to be on Home Village.
Excellent.
All right. I think we are going to move into shout-outs now.
All righty.
Fairy, do you have any shout-outs you'd like to give?
Yes. So my shout-out go to pretty much, I guess, one, all the Communion players who are very vocal about everything. mostly the bad stuff. But yeah, that's super important. And I know I get called out all the time as well, like, Fairy, fix this. We're not listening to us. Or like, why are you... We're not nerfing Hoot Rider. I'm sorry. I'm not a game designer. But thank you, because it's thanks to the feedback and being vocal that we make us like shift our focus. Sometimes we have this tunnel vision, so it's really good when we have people, players complaining about something or sharing feedback about something or suggestions, because that makes us look at that and say, okay, we need to look into this. We need to fix this. It's a problem. Let's look into data for this. So thank you for that. So my shout out goes to the community and everyone who like speaks up about whatever's wrong with the game. So that's super, super valuable. Second is thank you for content creators, everyone, all of you, for keep creating content and like these amazing moments and like opportunities. Like, I love this. Thank you for the invite again. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, I guess those are my shout outs. And of course, to the Clash team. Love them all. Thank you.
Awesome. Peter.
Thank you very much for coming on. It's very good to hear you. I look forward to some of those promo videos. You've been doing really good job. You make me
thank you.
Make me laugh. Yes. I have just one shout out this week, Kat, and it's to Redthorn, the whole clan. We promoted into Champs 1. I know it was a limited number of people that did it, but it was a clan effort over the years to finally drag us up there. So good job, Redthorn.
Excellent. Yeah, for sure. My shout-outs, again, thank you, Fairy, for agreeing to come on the show. Really appreciate you giving us your time on the weekend. And I also want to shout-out the Quasar team, Antonis, Shandon, Doc, the main event, and Paul Blart. They're busy trying to keep going in the qualifiers, so hopefully they make it into tomorrow. But if not, then it's been a great experience for them, so shout-out to them.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. The CFF is a family of clans who love to play various games such as Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, among others. You can send questions or comments to us on Twitter at RedthornCOC. To get more information on our clans, events, and podcasts, join the CFF Discord at discord.gg/ClashFiles.
Dear Clash Gods, I confess, my emotions have been a mess, 'cause you changed everything we ever knew. From witches to poison, and the queen walked too. Whoa, I've been wrong, I was wrong. Been a town hall night, way too long.
Getting hogs and Valparaise, I push that button and it